Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's, from his ni'mas, his rewards, the biggest ni'mah is the month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, Allah ta'ala with peace and prosperity and well-being and salamat, Allah has given us the tawfiq to pass through the days of this month of Ramadan. The first ashra, the first 10 days of rahmah, mercy, second ashra, second 10 days for maghfirah, forgiveness, and the third ashra, the last 10 days for his special rewards. So this ashra, the last 10 days that we're passing through, and this is the, you can say, the summary of Ramadan, the result of Ramadan, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken some work from us with his tawfiq, with his permission. He's given us the ability to carry out good deeds. And Allah has given in such beautiful nights, and we could not fulfill the right that was due to Allah, and that is the right of Ramadan. But alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala even then gave us the tawfiq that we, with this month, we continue to travel with the month of Ramadan. And in actual fact, the point is this, that when he goes towards a good deed, then at that time, the most pain at that time is given to shaitan. He feels most pain. This is his mission, that I don't want to let this man go towards any good deed. And with difficulty, a person makes his mind and intention and he goes towards a good deed. And then shaitan, the way he stops a person, he has a unique method that he uses, that is that he instills waswasa, whispering into that person. And waswasa is a big attack of shaitan. Whispering. That person does an action, an amal. What does the waswasa say to the person? That your amal is a waste. That your action is a waste. What have you done? What will Allah Ta'ala give to you? You got this defect, this was wrong in your practice. That, have you got any benefit from this action? That's it. So continuously he injects the waswasa into that person. Then he comes again. And then he turns the screw and he tries to put the person into a problem. Some people are weak, the poor souls, and shaitan's attack works on them. And then due to those waswasa of shaitan in their thoughts, they reject the amal that they were doing. And then he doesn't leave them. Then through those individuals, he makes them say wrong things. Though leave it, what are you doing? It's not worth, there's no worth in it, there's no value. What's the point of doing this? What's the point of doing this action? You go and keep sitting in dhikr. What's the point of doing dhikr? What's the point of doing these other amal? Have you attained any benefit? So he forces a person towards negative thoughts. And you're just wasting your time, shaitan says. And that, for example, if you do this and you thought you'd get this, you thought you'd get this reward, until now you've not attained anything. He puts ajeeb thoughts into a person. First he breaks that person, and then he destroys that person, ruins that person. And then via that individual, he destroys other people. He spoils other people. So my brothers, to save yourself from the storm, the flood, first of all, that where the leakage is, then you should seal that leak first and foremost, before it becomes a flood. Right in the beginning, seal the leak. When the first waswasa comes from shaitan, oh, that we've come, for example, to dhikr. And there are big hadiths that we've heard about dhikr. I'm talking about all amal, not just dhikr. There could be salah, it could be other deeds. So definitely he will do this. That may we give our all to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. I will tell you a hadith. He said that this happens. And I'm telling you the meaning of the hadith. That this occurs, he said. The shaitan needs to do his action. He wants to expel you or remove you. But do one action. Who said this? Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He said, do one action. What? Whatever action you're implementing, whatever amal you're doing, after that, say two things. Alhamdulillah, astaghfirullah. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah, astaghfirullah. So what are the words of the hadith? He said, radiyallahu anhu, that when you say these two things, then shaitan's back is broken by these two statements. Alhamdulillah, astaghfirullah. You will break shaitan's back. And alongside saying this, your amal becomes accepted at that time. What a great cure he has prescribed and told us. So one is that never think, never consider that the deed that you're doing due to your own power, ability, you'll come again, you'll do it again. No, shaitan is very wretched and he's cursed and he knows how to deviate man. He knows how to trick man. This is the experience of my life. People I've seen who are going in a good way, practicing, and then they become weak and they disappear. Who makes them go away? Where do they go? Where do they disappear to? It's the strength of shaitan, and he destroys a person, ruins a person. So many people, good people, they come, they're passionate, they want to practice, they're strong, and after that, the brakes are put on. They slow down, slowly, slowly, and not just that, they start to go opposite, and they start to speak against. And what is this? This hadith, all the hadith are haq and truth. So what a great cure that we've been prescribed. Always, whenever you do a good deed, was us coming or not coming? You enjoy or not? Don't fall into this trap. Though, oh, I'm okay, I don't need to do this wazifa, I don't need to recite anything, I don't need to safeguard myself. Even after 50 years, you could have negative feelings, remember this. For 50 years you're doing an action, because shaitan's mission is that he is not going to leave you until he doesn't deliver you to the grave. He won't leave you. You say, oh, I'm strong, I've been practicing 40 years, I can't be deviated. No, never say that. Don't be deceived. After every amal, after every action, tie the knot on the action. And it's definitely with strength and firmness, grab hold of this statement, that do this, say this, otherwise if not now, but someday he may deviate me. So alhamdulillah, astaghfirullah. What a great cure we've been prescribed. What does this mean? The alhamdulillah, when you say alhamdulillah, what does this mean? That Allah, all praises are due to you. It's been 40 years now, or 50 years, and I know that. I know that I don't have the guts, I don't have the determination, I have no power, I have no ability, nor do I have the akal to pray salah. Or that I could even come to salah. There were thousands of excuses and barriers by your fadl and karam that you gave me the tawfiq to do sajda to you, Allah. So you should be grateful to Allah for what? Not for the amal, for the tawfiq He's given to you to do this amal. Forget the amal, we're not even doing that yet. We're not even implying that Allah, you allowed us to pray salah, or that we prayed salah. Or that we prayed salah. No, rather Allah allowed us to pray salah. Not that we prayed salah. Allah, you brought us, you seated us, you could have got me busy in sleep, you could have given me some distraction or a hurdle on the way. And this is the reality, that before we came in the heart, maybe what was a come, oh leave it, what's the point of going today? There are excuses, or he seeks a way out. That when you go towards an amal, barriers are there. And the barriers then make you fed up or bored, and you have sort of feelings and emotions that you don't want to do the action. So don't stay like that, whether you're bored or enjoying it. But who's giving the tawfiq? Allah Mawla is giving the tawfiq. So when you say alhamdulillah, in reality, you're being grateful to Allah, the Allah Ta'ala. It's you who gave me the ability, your grace, that you allowed me and enabled me to do this amal. And then when you do the action, when you do that, that's a separate issue. That's a separate. And then after that, when you do the amal, now we speak about that. So what does that come to? Astaghfirullah. What does that mean? That Allah, I am useless, Allah. And you gave me Ramadan, Allah. What a great month you gave me, Allah. First Ashra you gave us, and was Rahmah. I didn't attain any Rahmah, Allah. That we didn't do anything, we didn't implement anything. And then you gave the second Ashra, Allah. What a great phase of Maghfirah, to get forgiveness for the sins, and we couldn't even attain that. And even that, we were weak and useless. And our amal, that consider that your deeds are the lowest rate, lowest level. How will I show my face with this salah, this Quran that I recited? Is this my deeds? Is this the way to read Quran? Is this the way to do qiraat? Is this the way to keep the fast? Well, how will I show my face to Allah? So then, what's the response to this? The reply to this, astaghfirullah. The Allah Ta'ala, despite this amal you gave me the tawfiq to do that I did. Allah, I seek your forgiveness that I was not able to implement this properly, this amal or these amal. So both things we need to present in Allah's court. Alhamdulillah and astaghfirullah. Then Allah Ta'ala says, my servant, he is a very beloved servant of mine. Yes. So every time we say this, and then Allah says that He's assigning everything to me, and He's leaving it to me, so I accept His deeds and I forgive Him. So I'm His Rabb. So this is the point that for Ramadan, it's necessary that we, alhamdulillah, we will travel with alhamdulillah, astaghfirullah, in parallel, during Ramadan. So Allah Ta'ala has given us His karam and His blessings, that today we are into the final ashra where the rewards are being distributed. Okay, let's, you know, when, for example, rewards are being distributed, somebody is the first, second, and third, and then there's a person who stood right at the back who's last of all, and he also stands in the line. Oh, at least something I'll get, something or other I'll get if I'm in the line. So we are also like him, that we spread out our cloth and ask Allah for reward. We stood, we sat, and the rewards have started to be distributed. One night has gone. Yes, because for reward, Allah Ta'ala hasn't said the whole ashra. When did Allah say that these 5 nights, in these nights you need to attain? Allah says, in these 5 nights I give the reward. And subhanAllah, Allah has not selected the day, He selected the night. Allah selected the night for giving the reward. And which night? Allah says, in isolation, seclusion, when you're alone, alone, detached. The more you are alone, yes, whether that's why itikaf represents this being alone. The more you're in the darkness, you're hidden. And in this, that a person, he will ask me from the depths of his heart, and I will give him the rewards, Allah says. So in this, there are 5 nights, 21st, 23rd, 25th, 27th, and 29th night. So different Sahaba Ikram mentioned the nights in a different way. Like I said, that once the Holy Prophet said that I was given the hint at that time, in the hadith, it's proven that every year it's not just one night. Sometimes it's the 21st night, sometimes the 23rd night, Laylatul Qadr. Sometimes it could be the 25th, sometimes it could be the 27th, could be the 29th. It's not lazim that it's always on that same odd night. So we, every night, what we need to do, in each odd night, we need to present ourselves in the presence of Allah. For what? For the rewards we need to present ourselves. That Allah, also give me some reward, Allah. From your treasure chest, Allah, also splash a bit onto me, Allah, so I can attain something. So just like we have different narrations of the noble companions, so the 23rd night, the narration has Abu Marwa radiallahu anhu, is a great companion. He said, I say that the 23rd night is Laylatul Qadr. And Allah Ta'ala allowed him to see the benefit on that night. So what is the night tonight? 23rd night. So the night has come. People say, what do we do? This is the case, isn't it? The night has come, it's a valuable night, a precious night. People are sort of distressed. What should we do? How do we pass the time? How do I spend the time? How do I spend the night? Shall I pray Salah? Shall I recite Quran? Tilawat? Shall I read Quran? These are the things that people do, isn't it? Pray Salah, read Quran, Tilawat of Quran, Salatul Tasbih, and also some give Sadaqah, give out charity. And they also ask for forgiveness. This is it, isn't it? Ask for forgiveness from Allah. And that's not the end of the story. The real thing, there's such a statement I'd like to share with you that would be better than all of these actions. And nobody does that. And what is that? Pray Salah. Read Tilawat of Quran. Yes. Do sujood, prostrations, do du'as, and give khairat. Sadaqah, and even ask Allah for forgiveness. Okay. We'll also ask for forgiveness. But the statement's coming, nobody does that, and today we need to do that. Ask for forgiveness, and I say we will ask for forgiveness, but also forgive others. Subhanallah. Greatest ibadah is to forgive others. Yes. The greatest ibadah. Here, this is where we stop. We get stopped. We read this much Quran, this much Tilawat. But the real ibadah, subhanAllah, is that raise your hands and say, Allah, whoever has oppressed me, I forgive him. SubhanAllah. This is the ibadah. And in this is, look, you're praying salah. You're reciting Quran. Yes. And is your nafs inside being shaken? No. It's not going to shake. There's no difficulty for the nafs. When you, about your enemy, say, who swore at you a person, he oppressed you, he pained you, he said bad against you, he disrespected you, he dishonored you, he laid his hand on your honor. When you raise your hands and say, first of all, Allah Ta'ala, the person who oppressed me, who pained me, Allah, today I forgive him. SubhanAllah. And that's, look at the scene. The Holy Prophet ﷺ was there, and the stones were being thrown on him, and his slippers, his shoes were full of the blood. From top to bottom there was the blood, and the whole universe is shaking. The angels saying, give us the order, O Rasulullah ﷺ, and we will destroy the universe around them. How can they dare with Allah's Habib? They're doing zulm. And he raised, they said, raise, tell us please, Rasulullah ﷺ, raise your hands and they'll be destroyed. Allahumma yaghfir li qawmihi. SubhanAllah. Oh Allah, my qawm, forgive them. Fahimna, Allah, please, my Mawla, my Lord, please forgive my people, these people, the poor souls, they have not understood, they don't have the understanding, they have lacking in the understanding, and this is the maqam of forgiveness. So our Holy Prophet, look at his amal, a fantastic example of forgiveness, yes? That the stones and rocks are being thrown on him, dhulam, extreme dhulam, being implemented, nobody to save him, nothing to save him. No one around him who was sympathetic to him. So difficult, he went to a garden and sought refuge in his ghulam. And look at that situation, look at that scene. Well, who will have done zulm against him? Maybe someone will have said to you that you are this and you're that in your house or outside. How much can somebody do zulm against another person? Just maybe swear against you or say bad against you. But look at this example, that today, the whole Laylatul Qadr you'll receive, you say, I forgive. I forgive. I've forgiven this person. Yes, is this ibadah or not? Tell me. Is this worship or not? With this worship, your nafs will shake. Oh, what a big action you've done. And there's nobody who, for example, has not received oppression from somebody. Whether in your house, with the family, outside with people, with relatives, with people you know. We live in a society, in an environment of public. So all of these waqiyat, Allah Ta'ala shows us these examples. Because he wants that my servant, I want to reward him so he understands what you are in reality. And if he says that, I forgive the other person. So are people doing this? They're praying salah today, doing dhikr, reciting Quran, doing itikaf. They're doing all the deeds. But how many people are there who are saying, Yaar, I forgive this person. How many people will there be who do this ibadah? Tell me. As Abu Darda radiallahu anhu was sat down, beloved companion of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and great hadith have been narrated from him. And this hadith, another one of his hadith, I'll share with you. With this hadith, I'm saying another hadith has come to mind. I'll share that as well. As a Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, it was his generation, and a person came, and he said, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Amir Muawiyah, this person has broken my tooth, and I've got a lot of anger. Give me the order so that I can take revenge on him. Is jais? Is jais? That, for example, if somebody oppresses you, the mouth he oppresses, you can also do the same. So he's broken my tooth. As a Muawiyah, give me the order. And then imagine his anger at that time. He was in anger, rage. This is hadith in Tirmidhi. And so Abu Darda radiallahu anhu sat there. Amir said to that he makes the decision. He said, can you give me 1 minute? Shall I speak to you? He said, okay, speak. He said, that I heard from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, subhanAllah. He said, I heard. He gave the answer, gave the reference. He said, I heard from Imam al-Anbiya, Sarkari Dualam, the master of the two worlds, from the master of Medina, from the one, he who wrapped himself with a black cloak. I heard him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say that if a person is oppressed, and if somebody does bad to another person and gives him pain, and that individual who is the oppressed forgives him, the oppressor, then Allah Ta'ala doesn't just forgive him, rather Allah elevates his darajat, his rank and status. And they were the companions, they weren't like us. Imagine his hal, broken tooth, he wanted to take revenge. When he heard this hadith, he said, I have forgiven him, immediately I have forgiven him, I have forgiven him. Immediate. Amazing. SubhanAllah. So here, one forgiveness, what do we get? The night of power, Laylatul Qadr. Imagine, The light of power. And that was then the generation, subhanAllah, what a great generation. And today we are in a generation, an era, that no one even thinks about forgiving other people. There's no context of forgiveness. So many sins. We don't know where we're going to be forgiven from. Where will the forgiveness start? We're surrounded with the sins. Where will bakshish start from? Look at amal, they're a waste. Our Quran is no value. Our talawat is with riya, showing off. Everything we do, there's an issue. There's a complexity. No straightforward deeds that we practice. So one amal, Allah Ta'ala says, you will get the whole of the night of power. Yes, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu sat there. Yes, this is to do with muhabbat and love and yaqeen. Yes, that can anyone do this? If I say to you, do this now, pray this many nafil, you'll pray. If I say, finish the Quran completely, give sadaqah, I've already got, you'll do everything. If I say, that person, your wife or your child, go and forgive them and embrace them. Nobody will have the determination or courage to do this, to go and plead with both hands, I'll go, I forgive you. I remember an event, an incident. In the Khanqah, I was sat there. This very old event, this is a very old event. It was the, I think, night of powers. There, people were meeting me. One person came to me, and he was bay'ah already. He was daif, and I think he was 70 approximately years old. He was quite weak, and mashallah, I used to respect him a lot because he was daif as well, and old, and a good man. He was a good man. When he came, he was crying and shrieking. He came to me, and I was also afraid at that time, and he sat down. And he said, Allah, for the sake of Allah, forgive me. For the sake of Allah, forgive me. I said, what happened? What sin have you committed? He said, a big dhulam I have done. Oppressed, I have oppressed. He said that I have oppressed my wife so much. Because such a person to do zulam is very easy to oppress a person who is in your control. I can divorce you. I will divorce you. I'll do this to you. I will finish you off. And he, such dhulam oppression in our society we do against our women folk that you cannot imagine. That all life long she perseveres through the zulam. I don't want to tell my brothers, my mother or father that there's wrong being done against me. And such a big hasab reckoning for the husband and the wife in the hereafter. Such hukuks have been given to the husband, but because at that time he is stronger than her, and in this country maybe this cannot happen here. Here in this country, the woman, she is actually stronger than the man. Because here you can't use the sticks or force, but in our societies, in our countries, nobody is there to protect the woman. That if she tells off, he'll say, it's your fault. They'll say, it's not his fault. The people will say, even if she complains with this, that he will go to the divorce. That why are you, old man, giving divorce? That's it. That whatever I tell her, she doesn't do. So you're giving divorce on this. Whatever I say to her, she doesn't do it immediately. I don't like it that I want to give a divorce. Imagine for this reason, for this person, is this a point of forgiving divorce? These are true stories of today. That can you give some real reason, valid reason, some asool, some principle of the deen that she's done wrong? He said that whatever I say, that for example, whatever I say, she does it, I don't like that. And I'm giving a divorce. So you don't even like that. And if she doesn't do it, you don't like it. And if you say it, she immediately follows and you give a divorce. And then he is doing dhulm openly. She's forced into the corner. But no, some women folk, they know that just some years my life of he's pestering, but my rewards are so much that Allah Ta'ala is going to give to me. So many rewards are there aside. But the same woman, subhanAllah, that those who do amal on the sabr, just like the hadith of the go, I have forgiven you, subhanAllah. Yes, she will get based on forgiving. If she sees that I'm going to get revenge, when he comes, I'm going to do this to his mouth and his face, no. So that man came and he said to me, I've done zulm on my wife. I've oppressed her, and every man thinks that he's the controller, she's my wife, I can do this, do that. So much zulam, he said, I have done. And because this is the Khanqah's noor and sohbat of the awliyaullah, so a person one day eventually wakes up. He said, my eye opened after 70 years. If I die in this way, then I don't know what would happen to me. He said, I don't know what would happen to me. And he, then look at his wife's achievement, mashallah, subhanAllah. He said, it's sad to say, I'm crying for this reason, Hazrat, that she has never stopped in my khidmat, in my service. Food I used to get, the clothes were ironed, everything. She said, the more I did zulm against her, the more after that she did my khidmat. I don't even know when she cried, he said. What a great story this is. And subhanAllah, he was crying. I started to scream when I heard this, that this much zulm you did against your wife. This much oppression against your wife. I said, Yaar, the Allahu Akbar, ajeeb muamala, this is situation. I said, this is how you live with your wife all your life. And this happens. But, okay, maybe it came too late, but at least it came. At least it came. Allah Ta'ala said, okay, Khan ka sobat, noor has come into him, the light, and he's come onto the right path. He's understood. Then he sought forgiveness. He asked for forgiveness. So this is our zulm in our mashra society today. Ibadah that we do worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I want this ibadah in these nights of power. Where do you get this? In the khanqa, you learn this knowledge in the company of the wali of Allah. Not our decision, do this much talawat, recite Quran, pray nafil salah, do this, and that's it, you're forgiven. And that's it, and do dua and you're forgiven. No, no, no. First you have to purify yourself, you have to present yourself in Allah's court, and you need to get the reward from Allah. So the greatest action on this night is go and forgive your enemies and those you oppressed. Allah will be happy with you. As Abu Darda radiallahu anhu hadith, I'll share this with you. He said that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was present and there was a gathering and it was the city of Medina, subhanallah. And a beautiful fragrance of Medina. And the master was present, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the noble companions were present, and an individual came. And he started to say, O Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that my neighbor, that I keep requesting him, that Yaar, this dates you have, you know, you have a little bit, a few dates, and it's there, you know, you don't understand? It's like the part of the tree, you know, the branch of dates, you know, the portion of the tree, it's called the branch of dates, yeah? It's cut off. Yeah, when you have the tree, the whole tree, and then you have a branch which is cut off. That's called a branch in Urdu. Yeah, Tana. In English you can say part of the tree, a portion of the tree. What else can you say? So that branch, I'm asking for him that give this to me so that I can make some sort of beam from my house, or I'll put a cloth over it, a chitai, so that I'll be safe from the heat. But he's not listening. He's not giving me that branch that's cut off. Such beautiful things the Sahaba Kram used to come and say to the Holy Prophet. He said, O Prophet of Allah, please explain to him my neighbor. He said, call your neighbor. SubhanAllah. So not there that go away, we're doing ibadah and we're praying salah. No, the Prophet did not say to him, get away. That the greatest ibadah of the Holy Prophet, that he used to listen to the requests of people. One old woman, she was mashallah, she was like mad. She was, what did she used to do? She said, Oh Prophet, listen to my problems. And she used to sit him down on the road. It was hot for hours and she was mad. And what stories was she telling the Holy Prophet? He was sat there and all the Sahaba, imagine their hal. They were in the heat, but they couldn't dare to interfere in this situation, in this scene. He said, I know best, and she's speaking to me, and leave her to me. I'm listening to what she's saying. Said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the severe heat in the afternoon, and she was mad. What she can say, that he's done this to me, he said this to me, you know this is going to happen. Oh, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are people like that. They speak a lot. And this happens to a man, that you get stuck with a person like this. People get afraid and scared, but the sheikh doesn't get scared. He said, no, that he's not left yet, he's not left yet, I need to eat, the time's going, I need to go to the shop, business. Why do you come to get me then, I say? What do you come to get me then? But don't worry, don't shake, because my lions are lions as well, mashallah. They say, they sit down more, and we'll serve you. We have no, we're not running impatient. That with happiness, they say, mashallah, that's fine. There's plenty of time. Allah Ta'ala has given us lions, mashallah, good workers. Otherwise people think negatively. But he says, no, we're not in a rush. I've got nothing to do. I'm not hungry. I'm not busy. We have nothing to do. I said, nothing to do. No, you keep sitting there and speak to them, mashallah, and I'll wait for you. So that's why 1 hours, 1.5 as they stood there, the brothers, there's rain, afternoon, the heat, but they have no negativity in their mind. I don't look at their mind, I look at their hearts. They've got sabr. That one day I see in their heart something, then tomorrow, then they will never, you will never see them again. The question does arise that I'll call them again. But as long as their heart is clean, then the sheikh goes. When there's a hair in the heart, then the sheikh says, begone with you. Remember this, he looks at the heart. So, Allah Ta'ala, He elevates the darajah. This is the khidmat, the service. The khadim, whatever's happening, night, day, time's passing, hours passing, days passing, he says, no problem, I'm waiting, no issues. No problem, I have no issues, I'm patient. No food? No, no, I'm not hungry. No, I had a nice breakfast in the morning. No problem. No, 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 I've got a fast. I've got a fast. I'd eaten so much and I have no need to break the fast at the moment. SubhanAllah, what a great heart Allah Ta'ala gives to the khadim. He is the khadim who's determined and patient. This is the patience. So, SubhanAllah, this is the khidmat. This much reward, so much reward that you cannot imagine for the khidmat. So what was I saying to Hazrat Abu Darda radhiyallahu anhu, the story? Yes. That I like this. He said that, mashallah, during dhikr gatherings, Hazrat Abu Darda radhiyallahu anhu, he also talks great about dhikr. So he was watching that, what's the story is going? The Sahaba, they see the whole event that, yes, call your neighbor. So remember that story I was telling you? You haven't forgotten, have you? What was I saying to you? Yeah, when I speak, and other issues come out as well. There was a man, and he came with a complaint that my neighbor or Prophet of Allah, he's not giving this thing to me, I need it. He has got no problem if he gives to me. What a great request. For example, you have something outside in your garden that gave this to me. No, I need it, I'm not going to give it to you. Yeah, you have no need for it. 3 weeks is sitting there, you're not using it. So I want to utilize it a little bit. Can you not give it to me? And he said, oh, you touch it, how dare you, I'll call the police. I'll call the beast. You aren't over there. Even today, a brother was saying to me, he went to meet somebody, and at the door of his house, not inside, just to the side, he said, my car's there. Just a little bit, it was covering, a little bit near to the door. He came, knocked on the door. Oh, have you got a guest? He said, what's the problem? He said, my car, in front of my drive, why is his car parked there? Why is that? He said, is this a little problem? Just next to your drive, next to your house. He said, this whole street, this man, he's rude. And everyone in the streets fed up with him. I call the police. And I said, no need. I just have to reverse it 1 inch. I'll reverse it 1 inch. Okay, no problem. There are people like this. Yes, tight. Tell me. So they have no desire to sacrifice. And look at their salah. And look at their claim. I'm an ashik, lover of Rasulullah, my sujood and umrah. How many times they've gone umrah and hajj? So many times. But no compromise. Takbir, they shout out loudly. So this is not that night that I'm telling you, this night of power. What ibadah do we do on this night? What statement did I say to you? Mafi, forgiveness. Don't ask for forgiveness, give forgiveness to people. Allah Ta'ala, what does he say in the Quran? Allah says, wa yasfa'u, subhanallah. Wa yafu yasfa'u, wal yafu wa yasfa'u. And further, what does Allah say? Allah yuhibbun. Aha, subhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala's words. That forgive this person. That forgive him, give him excuses to forgive that person. Look for excuses to forgive that person. Look over his issues. Because don't you like this thing, Allah Ta'ala says? That I ask you a question. That will you not like this? That when you come to me in the hereafter in my court and you'll be stood there and I know about your salah, your status, I know who you are, Allah Ta'ala says. I know your reality. When you come to me in thereafter and you are begging me for Jannah and you'll be hopeful of Jannah and you'll be stood there and I'll do your hisab and accounts at that time, Allah says, and if I do your accounts at that time, Allah Ta'ala says, will you be able to reply at that time? Your hands and feet will be shaking and you will see the scenes of hellfire and in your heart there'll be only one thing, Allah forgive me, Ya Allah forgive me. At that time, will you like that I order you? At that time, I'm reading the Quran in front of you now. I'm reading the Quran. Allah says, will you like at that time? Allah luhibbun. Will you like at that time? Allah says. So at that time, will you like that at that time? Allah says, yes. Then go, I've forgiven you. Go, I've forgiven you. How will you feel at that time when you hear that statement? That just one statement when you hear that, for you, Jahannam was ready. There's no one to save you. All your amal have evaporated. All of your relatives are not there to help you. No one to love you at that time. No one to give you. Apart from in front of you, your Rabb, your Mawla, his law, his justice. And will you be able to reply to his justice at that time? Allah luhibbun. Will you like when you hear this? That at that time, I don't say this to you. The most preferable and beloved thing you like to hear that time when you hear this statement that, go, my servant, I've forgiven you. Will you require this? Will you desire this? If you desire this, that I forgive you on that day, then come. Allah says, I give you your whole life. I give you the night of power. Laylatul Qadr, the greatest ibadah. Somebody's oppressed you and you carry on forgiving the oppressors. Subhanallah. Allah luhibbun, what a great verse of the Quran. Says, forgive people, look over their defects and their wrongdoings. What's happened to you? What's happened to you? Oh, I get so angry. Oh, the anger's on the tip of the nose. You are a big man with big anger, huh? I don't know why everyone says, Yaar, you're a man of anger, you're angry all the time, you're a woman of anger, you're always angry, you keep doing this, she does this, inside you there's always a storm, you never forgive anyone, always scared, people are scared of you. So you are now defining yourself. People say this, isn't it, with happiness, that don't come near to me, you don't know my anger, how strong I am. That I've got so much anger, you see what I do. And this is where Allah Ta'ala says, the definition of this person. Will you like it? Then Allah says, that with you also the anger is meted out to you. The putar, my son, the time is going to come. So today do this ibadah, Allah Ta'ala says. The pray salah, people say, pray tahajjud, and salatul tasbih, pray, and ask for forgiveness, but then you're still empty. Rather, your deeds are hanging in the balance. I'm not saying this, hadith says this. Everyone will be forgiven on the night of power, but one person won't be forgiven in whose heart will be kina, malice, hatred. Who will have bughz against other people, even though his lap is full of amal and deeds, with umrah, his Quran recitations, umrah and salahs to his name, and his treasure chest is full of the amal. Allah says, get back. I am the one who forgives. I won't give forgiveness to that person. Get back, Allah says, get back. I'll forgive that person, subhanAllah, that he had nothing to his name, but he said, Allah, I had nothing to my name, no deeds. I'm empty, but just one thing, Allah, that I can forgive this person. Allah says, then you've done the greatest ibadah by forgiving people for their wrongdoings. This is the night of power. This is Laylatul Qadr. Say subhanAllah, subhanAllah. Do you like what I'm saying today? Or this is the night of power, Laylatul Qadr. So what did he say? As Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, he's listening because the story continues, the hadith. Do you remember what I said? Yes. So he had, what's the drama taking place? The Prophet ﷺ said, call that person. Let's call the neighbor. Decisions being made. SubhanAllah. So he came, the neighbor. What's your problem? What's the issue? That he's requesting you that give the branch of the tree. He said, no, I won't give it. I'll sell it. SubhanAllah. Allah's Nabi ﷺ said, give it to him. So he can use it. He hasn't got any money. He said, no, I won't give it to him. I'll sell it to him. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said again, that don't you give it to him? Why don't you give it to him? He said, no, I'm going to sell it. Abu Darda looking at this scene, and from behind, someone said quietly, look at the ashiks, those who know about Jannah, paradise, that they know there's a place called paradise. So they look for opportunities, the sahaba. The night of power, we've been given it, we've even forgot the how we attain the night of power, Laylatul Qadr. We don't even know how to receive the rewards. We don't even know that Laylatul Qadr, how to receive it, attain it. We do ibadah due to our nerves, on our desires. That's 27th night, the drums are banging, Khatmul Quran, this and that. Straightforward, Allah Ta'ala has given us the thing that I'm happy with, please. We do those actions, Allah Ta'ala says, say subhanAllah, subhanAllah. So look at the scene now. Remember this hadith in, the first hadith with Tirmidhi. I don't know which narration this one's from. I don't know the narrator. But it's a Muslim hadith. Because I say this, it's not me who's, rather, more than reading it, I heard these hadith from the walis of Allah, the mashaykh. So it's musnad. There may be a wrong in my education and study, but when the wali Allah is delivering the hadith, then I know that this is the correct narration, correct reporting. So with happiness I present it, because I never present a narration that's written in a kitab or it's not in a kitab, because I don't present the kitab that's come out of his heart, and I heard that hadith. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. So then, Abu Darda said that, look at the scene now. He went out to the back, he went to the garden, and 500 trees of dates. Does anyone want to buy this? Does anyone want to buy this garden? Quickly, quickly, who wants to buy this? I'm telling you this story, the whole story, I'm telling you the meaning of the hadith, that not all the words of the hadith, because in front of me is the sketch, the scene. Yes, that what's happening at that time, what's the hal? So he said, is anyone who wants to purchase this garden? Sale, come. Sale, I've put this garden on sale. The whole line was there. How many? He said, how much? This much. How much are you going to pay? He said, here, take, I'll give this to you for this much. And he took the money and he threw the money. And the garden went. The story continues. Then this much he sold. Then he came forward. He said, oh, Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, yes, what is the issue? He said, that I want to present a masala. He said, yes, that I heard just now, I was sat at the back and I heard that you said to this man, that this person, the branch of the tree, whoever gives him the branch, then he will get a tree of dates or any fruit in Jannah, paradise. You said this. I heard this. And that this is a great thing. And we don't need this for the tree, that we have no need for this tree, this branch. We have no need for this tree. That we forgive someone on Laylatul Qadr. We say we don't need that. We say we have no value. Yeah, if he said the first class nice car, then we'll work hard for it. That's what we say in the dunya. But he can't see paradise. He can't see the hoods, the sabi. But he sold all of his goods. This was his yaqeen. He sold all of his goods, his assets. No, that what will my wife eat, my children, how will we earn, how will we live in the dunya? There was a bargain, a transaction, not just Jannah, but there was just the transaction of the tree of Jannah that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned. Is there any mu'min like this? I say, come sit in dhikr and wallah in the morning. You'll get that reward of Hajj and Umrah. But nobody comes. Nobody comes. Nobody knows what they're going to get, Hajj and Umrah. No awareness, no knowledge, no desire, no value. You have to beg the people. You have to beg the people, you have to plead them with both hands that come. Okay, if you can't come physically, at least listen online. You have to say it in this technique. You have to plead with both hands together. Bring your children for the sake of Allah. Bring your children. That take the noor of dhikr definitely goes and rubs off onto the children. The children, they don't feel like it. They're shaitan inside. Come and do dhikr, pray salah. And then here, and where's the tarbiyah taking place? The all day long, you leave them in the dunya. All day long, you leave them there. They're made into animals during the day. The children, they're animals and donkeys in this dunya whole day long. And why can't you do this as much that Allah Ta'ala's river is flowing so that you can allow them to come and jump into the river so their dirt comes off? I announce that come and bring your children with you. And just however they are, sit them down, slap them on the back, whether they feel like it or not, don't follow their taste. And push them and do dua. Allah allow the dhikr to have effect on them. And the person will save us in Kufristan. There's no resource that will save us. I tell you clearly, openly, I'm telling you this statement. Don't take it badly what I'm saying. Maybe we will take this negatively what I'm saying. That remember this what I'm saying today. These things are temporary. They won't save you in this society. It's such a strong poison here. This is the madaris, darul ulooms. I'm telling you the truth. They won't save your children. They won't save them. They're so strong of force. Alhamdulillah, you're trying your best. Alhamdulillah, you're trying your best. It's a good effort. Whatever you're trying, you should try. You should make effort. But the reality, understand it. The forces around us. Understand the reality. If Allah Ta'ala's fadl and grace with these things in parallel, that if Allah Ta'ala gives you a khanka, then run to the khanka. I guarantee you. That take the refuge of the Darul Uloom, masjids, and madrasas, tabligh. But I tell you again, I reinforce this message. The fitna is too strong around us. The jali fitna is around us now. I'm telling you the open truth. And in this nothing can save us. Only one thing can save us. About which Allah Ta'ala said that close to Qiyamah will come when dhikr will evaporate and disappear. Until that time Allah says Qiyamah will not come. Why is dhikr remaining until the end? Because Allah Ta'ala says I want to save the people via dhikrullah. So my brothers, why do you make your children animals? This is not love for the children. Don't release them into the wilderness. Allah's given you a chance. This is not love for your children. Every way or form, force them, bring them. You have to come and sit in the dhikr of Allah. If they don't understand, no problem. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. Am I right or am I wrong? This is the best tariqah method Allah's given us. Prediction. Allah's opened a hospital for you. Hospital of protection. Allah gives determination. Allah gives the masjid, darul ulooms, Quran, ulama, respect, is called all good things. But you won't be saved from all of these things. You cannot save yourself. From these places, thieves will graduate. There will be banditry. Women without parda will come out of the darul ulooms. Rather, they will commit more sins than the other women who don't go there and study. And when they see them, they say, we're ashamed. How can these be alimas? And they came out from there. Such fashionable libas they wear. I tell you openly the truth. Fashionable libas. And they've studied Bukhari, Tirmizi, the graduate alimas. This is not wrong. It's not wrong that you try this. You're right to do this. But the cure, Allah Ta'ala has said, only that thing can give you the cure and save you and protect you. And the cure for this is the khanqas, the friends of Allah, the awliya Allah. Today, who could think that 50 years ago that the khanqa Allah made here in this country? Go back 50 years, 5 decades, imagine the dirt now, the more dirt is here now. Tell me. More dirt is here now. 50 years ago, ask a brother from 50 years ago in the Khanqah, when I came, this people, and until 50 years were saved from those sins, until now. 50 years, 5 decades. In 50 years, and imagine that man who's been saved through 5 decades and his generations after him, his offspring, and in their hands are Quran, in their hearts is the Quran. So we see, definitely the Wali Allah said the right thing, أَلَّذِينَ تَتْمَنَ لَقُلُومٍ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. The generations and decades you can get peace and contentment where? In the dhikr of Allah, and the places of dhikr is where you get contentment and peace. So if in Bolton this silsila has arrived, and in your houses you've got animals, from morning until evening there's banditry and gangster actions and sins. And all day long you leave them like donkeys and cows in institutions where janwar and animals are graduating, then at least in the morning, in the evening, come and sit in the rivers of noor so they can wash themselves. Maybe some affection of Allah Ta'ala's rahmah splash will fall onto them at least. Anyway, let's go back to the hadith. What was I saying to you? Look, it's a good method of the hadith, and look how great way the hadith is being shared, and the tashreeh, the translation, and the commentaries. So what did Abu Darda say? What did he sell? 500 trees in his garden. 500 day trees. And what was he getting in return? For what? What was the return? The thing he's not even seen, he's not even heard, but from that blessed tongue, he had so much yakin in the Prophet ﷺ tongue, that the lie cannot emanate from the mouth of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. We said, lengthen the beard. If you don't lengthen the beard, this is the punishment. They had yakin, but we don't have yakin. Why should I grow my beard, I say? Why should I grow it? We have no yakin. There's no punishment, we say. Astaghfirullah. And what we call ourselves mu'mins. Subhanallah. Mu'min, they were the mu'mins. The sahaba. He said, Allah's Nabi ﷺ said, the women without parda, this is the punishment. Such a severe punishment, no parda, the woman. We have no yakin today. No belief. We pray, we recite everything, but we have no yakin. No yakin. What do we call ourselves? We say we're mu'mins. We will celebrate Eid and Qurbani. We'll sacrifice the goats and eat the meat. And we sabai on Eid, but we won't practice what the Holy Prophet said, because we have no yakin. This will happen, subhanAllah. This will happen. So yakin had the sahaba, the one word, and the other person, the third man came in between. The neighbor came and he complained about his neighbor, but Abu Darda heard this from the back, and he ran and he sold his garden, and he said, here, I present. This was his passion. Oh Abu Darda, why are you coming in between? He said, I said that, yes, I will give the tree in paradise. And he said, okay, fine, I've come. Holy Prophet, I've come. And he said, yeah, what is it? What do you need? He said, I have sold my goods for this benefit. SubhanAllah, he was speaking to you. I've sold and I've given the money, and I've bought that branch and I've presented in your service. SubhanAllah. 500 trees in his garden, and he bought that branch in the neighbor's garden and he presented it to the Prophet. He knew that what is this young man doing? He knew. Allah's Nabi knew that what he has done and what he's come, what he has sold and what he's earning. It wasn't the case that he didn't know. He said, what is it? He said, here's that branch that you were asking, and give it to that neighbor of his, that he wants that tree. That's subhanAllah. And please give that tree to me in paradise. SubhanAllah. Yad yaqeen, belief. SubhanAllah. Abu Darda, your sajda, your prostration, your blessed face, just by looking at your face, the Jannah would open up for you. The Holy Prophet, some morning and evening, you are looking at his blessed face, you are sahabi. For you, is there any lacking of trees for you in Jannah? But look at his greed and his want. He sold everything he had for that tree of paradise. Say SubhanAllah. Do you understand the point now? So what is this? Night of power, Laylatul Qadr. This is called sacrificing, giving for others. So what happened now? SubhanAllah. Allah's Nabi immediately raised his hands. What did he said? I swear by Allah, in whose hands is my life. Now his jalal came, his passion. He was aroused. That you talk about one tree, Abu Darda, with my eyes I can see right now that 100,000 such trees in Jannah, all of them with fruits, with fragrance. For you they are waiting. My brothers, Iman, belief. We have Quran and Allah's Rasul, his statements. Why does Shaitan stop us in the path? Tell me. So what we need to do is that tonight, what ibadah do we need to do? SubhanAllah. Yes. We need to forgive others. Allah says, forgive others. What will I do? I will also forgive you, SubhanAllah. Is this a small guarantee? That there is no need to do any amal, just bring one deed, Allah Ta'ala says. That you heard the hadith about the Holy Prophet ﷺ, that you will forgive him, and then Allah Ta'ala will forgive you. And you, Allah Ta'ala said this in the Quran. Allah says it in the Quran, in the verse. I told you directly. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. So that's it. The night is here, Laylatul Qadr, I've told you the methodology. I will also do this, you also do this ibadah. I will do this, you also do this. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to do this ibadah. Ameen. Come, let's do a little bit of dhikr. The, mashallah, dates and water keep next to you. Sometimes I get late, okay, so don't be upset. Keep the dates and water next to you. Yes, keep them from the first Ramadan. Keep looking at the dates and do dhikr of Allah. Yes, I don't know how long, that maybe I'll continue speaking until Tarawih, maybe. Maybe until Tarawih. Okay, so breaking the fast doesn't mean that just break it. When you break the fast, eat, is your choice.
Bismillah al-Mu'min, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, as-salatu was-salamu ala sayyidina Muhammad. Ya Allah, qubooliyat ki ghar hai, tijhi rehmat mein, josh par hai, ya kareem, shab-e-qadr aane wali hai, mere mula, shab-e-qadr aane wali hai, Allah. Ya Allah, farishton ka nuzul hai. Ya Allah, tu hame maaf farma. Ya Allah, tu hame maaf farma. Ya Allah, hamari pareshaniyon dur farma. Ya Allah, hame sehat afiyat naseeb farma. Ya Allah, hame sehat o afiyat naseeb farma. Ya Allah, hamare maa baap ki bakhshish farma. Ya Kareem, ya Kareem. Jo kuch humne suna us pe amal karne ki taufeeq naseeb farma. Ya Allah, hame ruhani tarakki naseeb farma. Ya Allah, hame deen pe sabit qadam farma. Ya Allah, hamare bachchon ko seedha sabit qadam farma. Ya Allah, hamare gharon mein sukoon naseeb farma. Ya Allah, hamare gharon mein aapas mein mohabbat paida farma. Ya Allah, jinke kaam ruke hain, kaamon ko pura farma de. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala خير خلقه محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك.